The Inside Job, a little series we're doing called The Inside Job. Churches destroy themselves from the inside, not the outside. Say that with me. Churches destroy themselves from the inside, not the outside. Very unique creature the church is. And many of you have been there. You know what it is to deal with church hurt. You felt the pain. You've been through it. And a lot of you bear scars this very day. Some things just go away, but some of these things just stick on you, and it's rough, but you got to keep moving, amen? But very hurtful to go through some deep church hurt experiences. And there was a church in the Bible, the church at Corinth, and the book in your Bible is the 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and Paul had to deal with this church. They had all kinds of problems, and we've seen some of them. They had divisions. They were following men. I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Christ. They're following men and going down the wrong path. I mean, they weren't unified at all. And then there was gossip, talking about one another. We gave a full message on gossip. By the way, we've got them on the back table. The DVDs are ready, amen, on gossip. You might want to pick that up. I think it'll be a help to you. And then we did one last week on sexual immorality. Sexual immorality in church leadership, but also just in us folks that attend church. What it does is devastating to the body of Christ and to families. So today, looking at another one, you might say, Clark, where did you come up with all these topics on church hurt? Well, I came up with them, okay? But it's been from a little bit of experience over about 22 years. And I could come up with a lot of them, but I'm trying to hone in on about six. And I'm also looking in the book of 1 Corinthians and trying to see what the Apostle Paul was dealing with in this church as well. So today is a doozy. Here we go. Come on, Raj. This inside job dealing with church hurt is the love of money. Can you say that with me? The love of money. And I'll tell you something. First time I went to church, I didn't want to go because I thought some preacher would steal our last dollar. Okay, I didn't want to go at all. I thought it was stupid. I even cussed my mother out for even having me go. I didn't want to go, okay? So I'm very careful in my head. I might not always come across that way when I talk, but I am careful in my head and in my heart. I don't want your money, okay? I don't want your money. If God doesn't provide for this ministry, I quite frankly don't even want to be at this ministry. I want to be somewhere where God is, amen? And where people are that are growing in the Lord, and God gets a hold of their heart, and we can do great things for God. That's where I want to be. So this has nothing to do. I'm happy as a lark. I can't complain at all with my pay, with our finances at our church. Good grief. There are people that would line up to have the financial blessing that we have here at Fellowship Church. Amen? However, we ain't arrived. Can you say that with me? We ain't arrived. And we've still got growing to do. And this can be a real problem in the church. It was in the Corinthian church. It certainly can be at Fellowship Church. The Apostle Paul started the Corinthian church. He's far greater than anything I will ever be. So if he could have these problems with churches he started, certainly I can have that and we can have that. So now let's go with the message, the love of money today. Several passages honing in on three particular, and then looking back in 1 Corinthians. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 12. By the way, if you'd like to, you can go online tomorrow on our website, fellowshipinglewood.com. All right? And you can check this out. You can click on the front page, and you can download this whole PowerPoint presentation that we do today. Won't have me on it, but you'll have everything that I have on the screen, okay? And you can click, and you can just let it sink in. I know several of you do that. You do a Bible study, and you do that, so it can sink in, and you can dig deeper. It's a great thing. I bet it doesn't take but 15 minutes, and that's getting pretty in-depth. So I would really encourage you to do it. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 12. But godliness... Let's try it one more time. Here we go. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 12. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we ain't carrying anything out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich, look at it, they fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Let's keep moving. The love of money has ruined many churches. And this is where I want to start today. The love of money has ruined many churches. Now, I don't even want to get a show of hands on this, but I know if I ask the question, how many think many churches, and you've been part of one even, that did that, I'd see some hands going up. Okay? We ain't going to go there. But it has ruined many churches. What am I talking about? Real quick. I'm talking about embezzlement. Treasurers, secretaries, pastors, financial people taking money and flat out stealing it. Will that ruin a church? Yes or no? Boom! Right out of the ballpark it will. Another thing, mismanagement. This isn't necessarily an evil thing, an underhanded thing. This is the kind of thing that goes on in church. It's just people are just downright ignorant. Don't know how to spend money. Don't know where it needs to go. It's for the kingdom of God and reaching people and not a lot of the mess. So mismanagement takes place and it ruins churches. And this is all Satan's plan, by the way. He does not want the church of Jesus Christ to prosper. He's our adversary. He goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to steal, to kill, to destroy. He does not want us to be successful. I am going to say a little bit this morning on this right here. Entitlements. What am I talking about? This is a Clark thing, all right? Entitlements. I've seen this in ministry. Pop it up, Raj. Here's what I'm talking about. Look at Luke 14:11. For whosoever exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. There is in ministry pastors, people that get involved and work in ministry, somehow think that they are entitled to stuff. They're entitled to a different way of treatment, a different way of behavior, a different lifestyle, all this kind of mess. I've had people that, not at this church, that have worked for me, that had that kind of mentality. I'm in Christian ministry. I'm entitled to stuff. Well, you may as well spit in my face if you have that kind of attitude. If anything, in the ministry, you're to be humble. You're to work hard. You're to do a good job, not how much I owe you. That ain't what it's about. Are you hearing me today? Say. And just a word over the bow. That's the kind of staff we'll have, and we do have, that work here at Fellowship Church. Anything else? If you think you work here to get some entitlement, some big, you know, star or halo or something like that, that's not what it's about. It's not about entitlements. This is an issue that's really close to my heart. Many people in ministry think they get a free pass. You know, I'm in ministry. I don't have to work hard. I've said it before. I don't mean to be ugly. If you work at Walmart, it's a good thing, but I am going to say this. And that is, a lot of people that I've had work for me, they've been professionals. They've been, quote, trained. Couldn't get a job at Walmart. Excuse me. Okay? And I don't mean to be ugly, but that's the truth. That's the truth. Okay? You don't get a free pass in ministry. Satan wants you to think that. All right? Keep looking. There should be no shortcuts. There should be no shortcuts when you work in ministry. And I know this is going somewhere, so don't think I'm parking for 30 minutes on this, but I did want to say it. Here's the way you should be. Here's just a few things. When you work in ministry, you should have commitment. You need that in your profession out in the world. Say yes or no. If you're not committed, you're not going to make it. You start a business and you're not committed to it, you're going to flop. You've got to have commitment. We need that in ministry. Leadership. You ought to be paid and rewarded on your leadership and the way you lead and the way you work and the way you do. Not what school you went to. I could care less what school you went to. Can you do the job? You hearing me? Good work ethic. The church is full. Church ministries, pastors wish they could say what I'm saying today to some of their staffs. They're lazy as the day is long. A good work ethic, not a free pass, not an entitlement. Keep looking. Diligence, keep going. Integrity. What does that mean? Being a person that's outstanding in your reputation, the way you do things. That's what ministry needs. We're doing this for Jesus Christ, last time I checked. Amen? And that's what, you know what? I don't want people that work with me to be people that don't have integrity just because it's bad on my name, much less the name of Jesus Christ, for crying out loud. Then finally, a couple other things. Punctuality, showing up on time, being there on time, getting there early. Isn't that an old idea? Say, how many old timers, that's the way you did it? Can I say here an amen? Let's do a little clap like this. No wonder it ain't done. Get there. Get up. Let's go. Get with it. No shortcuts. And by the way, production. A lot of people in ministry don't even, oh no, you can't talk about production. That sounds too worldly. If there's one organization on the planet that ought to produce, it ought to be the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen? Well, we just ain't had nobody new come to church. Well, then do something different. Try it a different way. Get up earlier. Do it later. Do something else. Get with. Why? We need to produce. Why? Because what we're doing is about winning souls for the kingdom of God. This is huge. So, no shortcuts. A lot of churches have been ruined because of entitlements. An entitlement attitude. Okay? I know that I wax a little hot on that every time I think about it. Keep moving. Earthly kingdom building. Satan wants churches to build earthly kingdoms. Tell you, newsflash, at Fellowship Church, we're not about building an earthly kingdom. We would like to build a nice building in Rotunda for the glory of God to reach people for Jesus Christ. But if you're looking for giant steeples and beautiful stained glass, it ain't happening. You know what I mean? Because we don't need it. We don't need it, but it would be great. Well, we don't need it, and we ain't doing it. We want a building that's functional, that people can come in, that says, welcome, not, we're better than you. No, we want something that says, come on in. We want to be functional. We want to be used for the glory of God. I'd like to see it used and used and used and used. That's why we want to build one that doesn't wear out, because I hope we use it for the glory of God. Not earthly kingdom building. By the way, a love of money in churches will lead to perversions. Can you say that word with me? Perversions. Now, what am I talking about? Pop it up. I'm talking about a love of money in churches and church leadership leads to screwed up theology. Okay? If you don't believe what I'm telling you, you just turn on channel 22, or you turn on channel 29, or you turn on channel 260, 261, 262, 263 if you got Dish Network. And I'll tell you what, you take your Bible and you sit there and watch a lot of this mess that you see on television, and it's screwed up theology. Okay? I don't care how nice a person they are. Loving money will mess your head up. This is just one example. I'm just watching, boom, just like everybody else. Psalm 66:12. Somebody's on television raising money. Hey, money needs to be raised. Money has to be raised to do things. But I don't have to screw up my theology to get there. Does that make any sense to anybody but me? I hope so. This is what came up. Psalm 66:12. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou brought us out into a wealthy place. Amen. And God told me, if you'll give $66.12 for 12 months, you'll be wealthy. God will bless you. Bunch of bull. You hearing me? It's a bunch of bull. Tell him, whether you like it or not. Okay? And that might be your favorite person that said that. Hey, we all can get off track when we love money, or when money's driving the engine of our ministry. You start to see things. I put this up. An example is the prosperity gospel. Now, what do I mean by that? It ain't what I mean. It's what they mean. Pop it up. And I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm talking about the love of money does an inside job. Here it is. Name it, claim it. You name it, baby. You claim it. It's yours. Well, if you want my Nissan Titan... We're gonna run after you with a stick if you come get my truck. Amen. You know, I told you my story before. Well, my neighbor one time claimed my dog and wanted my dog. Remember that? Remember that story years ago? Somebody wanted my dog. Listen, this name it, claim it thing. If you just speak it, it will be yours. Wouldn't it be nice if things were that easy? Say, use your brain. Okay, use your brain. You can't just blab it and have it. That's not Bible. And I'm not saying all that. Does God want us to prosper? I believe so. But is prosperity in other ways than just finances? Say, do you think God's a little more interested in you growing in grace and growing in righteousness and you growing in integrity and you growing in loving your family and loving your children? You think that means a lot more to Him than this mess? Say. But why we hear about this all the time? Screwed up theology. It's interesting. I found this quote. Look at this. Most of these guys and gals ain't seen a verse yet that didn't have a dollar sign on it. Wonder who said that? Pastor Gary Clark, Fellowship Church of Englewood. Amen. I am not going to win friends talking like that. You know, I understand that. But I tell you, it'll mess up your head. It'll mess up a ministry if we get perverted in our thinking when it comes to money. It's the love of money that can hurt your life, ruin your life, ruin my life. Let's keep moving. We've got a lot of stuff today. The Apostle Paul dealt with some money issues in the Corinthian church. Just like he dealt with divisions and gossip and immorality, he dealt with a money issue. Let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 9, 9 through 11 and verse 14. If you have your Bible, turn there. Otherwise, it'll be right there on a big screen for you. For it is written in the law of Moses, Paul speaking to this church that had all kinds of trouble. Remember last week they had somebody in the church that was openly immoral. They knew about it and they bragged about it, that they were an open-minded church and it was okay and it didn't matter. Had all kinds of problems. And Paul addresses this problem. It's written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treads out the corn. Doth God take care for the oxen? Or saith that he altogether, for our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he that plows should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap of your carnal things? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. What was Paul saying? Pop it up. He was saying, take care of your ministers and your staff. And now he could really preach it. Why? Because he is a tent maker. He told them, I didn't take a thing from you. I didn't take a thing from your church. But you know what? He didn't want them to abuse, because he had not taken anything. Don't abuse those that live of the gospel. Don't abuse that. Make sure that you take care of those that are ministers and your staff. So that's one thing Paul dealt with. Keep moving. Here's something else he dealt with in this little book. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write unto you. Now watch it. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you. Then to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Just stop right there. What's this all about? Paul said, I know your forwardness of mind. This church had said they were going to give money to help the saints at Jerusalem and help with the spreading of the gospel. And they said, we're going to do this. And undoubtedly, it was a fairly large amount. You know what I'm saying? It was really a great thing. So much so that Paul, when he went to Macedonia, when he went to Achaia, he said, oh, the church of Corinth is going to do this. And the church of Corinth's with us. And they're going to give. So much so that the poorest of all churches was the church at Macedonia. Your Bible, if you read it, the book of Corinthians, the book of Acts, the book of Philippians, you'll see that this church, the churches of Macedonia, which is a church at Philippi, they gave out of their poverty because Paul so encouraged them. They gave out of their poverty because of what they heard about was happening at Corinth. But watch it. Keep moving. Verse 3. What's the problem then? Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, you may be ready. Here's the problem. They ain't given squat. You know what I mean? He's told this, and poor churches have been giving. And then he comes back and sees, he starts to examine what's wrong in this church. And he says, this is one of the problems. You say you're going to do something and you don't. You say you're going to give and you don't. You're all talk. Less happily if they of Macedonia come with me. Hey, he said, one day I'll probably bring some of these poor boys from that church down in Macedonia, these poor people that gave out of their poverty. Let me tell you something. If I bring them with me and find you unprepared, We say not ye, should be ashamed in this confident boasting. Are you understanding what that's saying? You're boasting and you're not doing. He said it's a shame and it's ruining your ministry. It's hurting your church. Therefore I thought if necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as a matter of covetousness. He said, that's why I've sent this letter. This is one of the things I want to accomplish. Do what you say you're going to do. So what's the second point he made? Now just stay with me. He said, honor your commitment to give. Can you say that with me? Honor your commitment to give. How many like it when somebody tells us something, they tell it to us, they give us their word, and then they don't do it? Do you like people like that or not? Say. You're going to keep doing business with people like that. Do this, and then you do it, and you get nothing. Make me this, they make it, and you don't buy it. Hello? I wasn't raised that way. Something's going wrong. That's what was happening in church. That's what was happening in the Corinthian church. Let's keep pushing this a little further. The love of money. So far, we've been talking about other people. Isn't that been fun, say? Talking about the church out here. Talking about Corinthians. Isn't that good? Well, that's not my style of preaching. We got to get down to where we live because I need help. I want to be blessed from being here today. So I want you to really heads up right here. If you were going to leave, you should have left already. Here we go. Amen. Bolt the doors. Here we go. Because we love money, we disobey God's word when it comes to giving financially to the Lord's work. Because we love money, we disobey God's word when it comes to giving financially to the Lord's work. Let's keep looking. Read with me. I want you just to really have all eyes on the screen. And we're going to have a test. We're fixing to have a test. I'm here to help you. And you're going to see that in just a minute. Malachi 3, 8 through 12. Read with me. You don't have to read out loud. Let me read it. Will a man rob God? By the way, Malachi isn't some book of Islam or something. Okay, this is the Bible. This is the Bible. Okay? It's in the Old Testament. One of the last books there. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. God speaking. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. For you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Prove me herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough for you to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer, the devil, for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. Now hang on. Keep moving. Here we go. Are y'all with me? Here we go. If when we read these verses, one of the first things you thought was this, well, that's the Old Testament. Or, that was the law. Or, that was for Israel. Then here's the answer to the test. Here it is. Pop it up. Good chance you don't give financially to God's work. That ain't the end of it. Next. Or you give very little to God's work, the Lord's work. Number three, or you love money more than you love Jesus Christ. Number four, or you don't believe you can give to God's work and meet your financial obligations too. Now that's where I lived for years on that one right there. That's where your pastor lived right there for years. When I first got married. Okay, pop it back up. When I first got married, I lived right there. My wife and I are married. And then we get married, and it looked like it's going to be a picnic, amen? And then all of a sudden, it started out to not be no picnic anymore. And I'm in Bible college, and going to school, and all this kind of stuff to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen? And you know what? She wrote a check for a tithe. A tithe? That's a tenth of our income. Now, our income wasn't a whole lot, but if it was $500, that's $50. And I tell you what, she and I had a knockdown, drag-out fight. I told her she was stupid. I have a good way of doing that sometimes. I'm getting better, though, after years of being hit on the head. But anyway, listen. But the point is, I said, that's crazy. I'm going to school. I'm paying to become a minister. I can't be given to. What's wrong with you, lady? And she said, I wasn't raised that way. And she also said, that's not what the Bible teaches. Well, you're crazy. And I'm trying to argue, and I'm a good arguer and all that kind of stuff. And she said, well, let's just try it for 3 months and see if God won't pour out a blessing and he'll meet our needs. Well, I was madder than a hornet, thought she was stupid. Anyway, guess what? That's 23 years ago. Amen? And nobody can look at my life. You might not like me, some of you, and I understand that. All right? Especially as this goes on radio, there's a broader audience out there. But anyway, but the fact is, nobody can look at my life and not say, God has not blessed me. He's blessed me. And it wasn't because of me. My mom also called me stingy. She said, you're stingy. She wanted to give vegetables and stuff we raised away to people. What's wrong with that woman when we could sell them? Crazy I was. But let me tell you, she said, you're stingy, boy. You're chintzy. You're cheap. She called me all those things. So it was the work of two women in my life. Amen? My mama and my wife. Yeah, let's praise the Lord for these women. Come on, women. All right. Listen, stay with me though. We got to move. Maybe that's you today. You'll never become a giver without being honest with yourself. That's why I share these stories. It keeps me honest. Amen? It's a good thing to do. Let's keep looking. If that sounds like you, then Satan's pleased and God is not. Roger, we're moving now. I say this to help you today. That's why I'm putting this message. I know I wouldn't win no friends over this message. I knew that. Not because I want your money. I don't want your money. I dare say some of you would like to have what I got. I'm doing fine. We're happy, okay? We're very, very happy. Also, I'm fine. And Fellowship Church is doing great. This isn't about, if you can let the devil right now put that in your head, see, he wants my money, and Fellowship Church needs my money. Listen, we were doing fine before you ever showed up. Amen? If it means you not coming back, this is ugly preaching. If it means you not coming back, but you'd be a giver at another church, then I think I would prefer that you went to another church that's preaching the gospel, and at least there you would give and support that ministry. Because it's not about fellowship. It's not about this other church. It's all about Him. It's all about His kingdom. It's about us doing that work for His glory. Are you hearing me today? We should be partners together. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But I want to keep all of you. We want you all to stay. But I wish we could all get on the same page. But it takes a little different time for different hardheads like me. It took me a little while, okay? It does. But God can help you because the love of money is an inside job Satan's doing on your life. And we're going to show it to you what's happening to you personally. Keep looking. This is Satan's plan. The thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's what he wants to do with your life. He wants to steal, he wants to kill, he wants to destroy your life. That's what the Bible teaches. Keep looking. We got four things real fast. He wants you confused. Listen, he wants you confused. He wants you to think, I can't give to God's work. I know what my budget is. He wants you confused. He wants you to think that church just wants your money. He wants you confused. He wants you to think, let the rich folk do it. I've never built anything with rich folk. It's been regular folk. Regular folk, okay? Just regular folk. But he'll put that in your head. Wants you confused. Okay? Keep looking. Second thing, he'll want you this, cocky. What do I mean? Look what I give. You know, and again, I'm going to say something. I don't mean to be ugly. But I recently had a situation. Somebody told me they're doing this big project on this coast, and they're doing this project up here, and they're doing this, and they're doing this, and they're just telling me all they're doing. And I believe them. About a month passed. I guess they fell on some hard times and got mad at me because I didn't call them to find out they own hard times. Well, guess what? You shouldn't have made me think you're a multimillionaire. Amen? Are you hearing me? Say, what is it with us anyway? We brag about what we're doing, brag about our money, brag about our project. You love money is what you do. You love money. And it's going to ruin your life. It's not going to help the kingdom of God. It's going to hurt. He doesn't want you cocky. I give this. That just about makes me throw up. I give this. That's ugly preaching. I know it is. But I know a lot of you are with me this morning. You don't like that either. Don't be cocky. Satan wants you cocky. Come on. Let's look at something. He wants you cheap, 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 cheap. Listen, again, I'm trying to help you. God says, you rob me, I'll curse you. That's what God said, not what the devil said. God said that. And you know what? If you give $10 and you think that's a tenth, then you must live on $100 a week. And I don't think anybody lives on that hardly. And we need to put the Lord in the first place in our life. Are we going to trust Him? Are we going to believe Him? Are we going to be like the preacher here?
Can't do that. We'll starve to death.
You'd be surprised at what you can do. Satan wants you just to be cheap. He wants me to be cheap. And boy, that label stuck with me. I'm still trying to get it off. Anyway, let's keep looking. He wants you cursed. Can you say that with me? He wants you cursed. You think Satan's messing around? You think Satan's happy about us planning a project in Rotunda to reach people for Jesus Christ? You think that makes him happy? No, 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 no. He wants you cursed. He wants us cursed. He doesn't want us to meet our goal. He doesn't want us to get there. The more you love money, the less you give to God's work. That's the bottom line. The more you love money, the less you give to God's work. You think somebody that loves money, oh man, they can love it and give to God's work. The math is out. It doesn't work. Barna did a research poll, polling people all across America. They were going to church. How many of you tithe? 17% they said they tithe. But then they did thorough research. I don't know how they did it. Through churches across America, 17% was really 6%. 6%. So we got 11% out there that are cocky, saying they give it and then they ain't. They just like the Corinthian church. And that's what we need to battle. That's what we need to fight in our church. And the bottom line is, when I say fight it, I mean individually. We need to want to be honest with the Lord, right with the Lord. But we can't say one thing and do another. It doesn't work that way. Keep looking. Listen to what Jesus said. Give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured unto you. You give, and you are going to be blessed. I'm not going to say you're going to get rich, but you will be blessed. Luke 16, I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of money, of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. We are to use our money at Fellowship Church to make friends, to reach people for Christ. That's what the money is for, is to reach people. Okay? He that's faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that's unjust in a little bit is unjust in much, the Bible says. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous money, who will commit to your trust true riches? And if you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, if you work for somebody else, who's going to give you what you own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he's going to hate the one, love the other, or else he'll hold to the one, despise the other. You can't serve God and money. That's what Jesus Christ said. The Pharisees also, who were covetous. Isn't this something? Look right here. Look right here. The Pharisees also, which were covetous, they heard these things, and they derided him. And I doubt that there's not some here today that would deride me for this message. Well, if you deride me for this message, you're in the Pharisee camp, not the Jesus camp. See, that's just ugly, but that's just Bible. That's what the Bible teaches. Let's keep looking. Satan knows what God has said. Now listen, this is important. Satan knows what God has said. You are cursed with a curse. You've robbed me, even this whole nation. Satan knows that. So let's carry this thought a little further. Satan is cursed, and guess what? He wants you and me to be cursed. Can somebody remember why Satan was cursed? Was it because he was humble and wanted to give and help? Yes or no? Or was it because he wanted to be the big dog? He wanted to be over. He wanted to be exalted. I want to be like the Most High. And God said, you ain't. End of story. But he wants, ever since that time, he's wanted people like us to be just like him. Cursed, 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 cursed. And God's good for it. He's good for it. He'll curse you. He will. God says, don't rob me. He says, give me your tithe. That's exactly what he says in the Bible. And I haven't talked much about money at all here at Fellowship, about how what the Bible teaches and all that, because I don't want to have it at a place like that where I'm always talking about this stuff. But it's Bible, it's important, and it's part of you being blessed. And I do you a disservice if I don't talk about it. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. We saw this earlier. There may be meat in my house. Prove me, God says, herewith, says the Lord of hosts. If I won't open up the windows of heaven, I'll pour out a blessing, that there'll not be room enough to receive it. Verse 11, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. Let's look and see what happens when you tithe and when you give. Here's what God says. Here it is. I'll bless you. Can you say that with me? I will bless you. That's what he'll do. Let's just be honest. If we don't want a blessing, tell him. Tell him. Say, Lord, I don't want you to bless me. He said, I'll bless you if you do this. Number two, he said, I'll rebuke Satan for you. That's a pretty good deal right there. Amen. I'll rebuke the devil on your behalf. Number three, he says, you'll have a mighty testimony. You'll have a mighty testimony. Even as bad as my story is about me being stingy, it is a mighty testimony for Joy Clark. It's a mighty testimony that there was a little woman, 5'3", that was willing to look at this 6'4", big, ugly rascal and say, that ain't the way we did it. That's not what the Bible says. See, you'll have a mighty testimony when you do the right thing. That's what God says. But here's the curse. Here's what God says I'll do if you don't. And here's it just let's be honest with him. Here's what he says. I won't bless you. Boom. That's it. That's fine. Number two, he says this. I'll not rebuke Satan for you. That's exactly what's going to happen. I ain't going to rebuke Satan for you. And number three, you won't have a powerful testimony. Bottom line, it's the blessing of God or the curse of God. Satan wants us to take the latter. Some statements about giving. Giving is not something we do, it's something we are. Look at it. You're a giver or you're not. And pretending to be something else is what the Corinthian church was doing. We're a giver or we're not. But see, like in my case, look at it. Thank God is something you can be. Amen? You know, you might have to get wrapped up the head a couple of times by the wife, but I tell you, it can work. It can work. And now I am so honored to give to the Lord's work. You can do it. Okay? Keep looking. Giving is a way of life when you understand the amazing grace of God. It becomes a way of life. How could I not give after God saved my drunk mama and this hell-raising kid? He set my feet on a solid rock. Mama's now with Jesus on the other side. But I'm an ingrate down here, not going to give to him? After all the amazing grace he's shown in my life? To me, that would be like, Clark, you're a nut. Keep looking. We don't give to get, but God's blessings is one of the fringe benefits. If your attitude is to give, to get, that's not a good attitude. But it is reality. That is one of the fringe benefits. It's when we give, we do get. It is true. The love of money. Boy, this ain't one of them jump up and down and praise Jesus messages, is it? God's principle on giving. Here it is. Look at it. Here's what the Bible says. Don't give sparingly. Can you say that with me? Don't give sparingly. But this I say, he that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that sows bountifully or generously shall reap generously. God didn't spare. Look at Romans 8. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Romans 8. Look at this. Second point, give bountifully. Can you say that? Give bountifully. The word means generously. That's how we should give. Remember, motive matters. When you give, motive matters. We're talking about the inside job. I think the others we may have clued in a little better. But I'm telling you, more churches have probably been ruined by money, shut down because of lack of money, fought fist fights over money, than any of the other things we talked about so far. Motive matters when we give. We've got to remember that. If you're here today and you're going to give because Pastor Clark said give and I just got to give, that's not the right motive. You give because it's the right thing to do. You give because God said give. You give because you want to be blessed of God and not cursed. Look at this. Continuing on in Corinthians. Paul doesn't stop. He keeps on talking to these folks. He said, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Look at this next thing. There are three types of givers in the church. We said it already. There are three types of giving. Here it is. Number one, a sad giver. That's somebody that gives grudgingly. That's sad. You're crying when the money hits the offering plate. Oh my God. That's a grudging giver. I'll do it, but I really don't want to. Can't afford it. Can't do it. That's a grudging giver. A sad giver. Second kind of giver is this, a mad giver. I said it earlier. That's the gun to the head giver. Well, I got to give them money. I don't want to give them money. But you're mad about it. Can you imagine giving somebody something and you're mad about it? Say, look, if you have a gift for me and you want to give it to me because you're mad, here, I got you a nice fishing pole. But I'm mad. I hate your guts. Keep your fishing pole. I want you, if I give something to you, you give something to me, we ought to be happy about giving a gift. Amen? And we'll not be mad about it. That's what he's saying. Don't be mad. The third kind of giver is this, and that's the glad giver, cheerfully. Cheerfully. Amen? The word means hilarious. You know what? I went to Rockingham 2 or 3 weeks ago, North Carolina, with Don Lutz. We took pictures. We're going to be doing a video and something we're trying to put together. And so we took pictures of where I lived in my old home. And did you know what? When I looked at where I came from, Don and I were on the street. It's so bad. The area is so bad that Don and I had to take pictures real quick and get in the car and speed away. I mean, literally, that's how we felt. And it won't Detroit. This is North Carolina. You know? And I'm just, you know what? I laughed at how much God has done in my life. It was just funny. look at my life and where I came from. It's just hilarious to see how good God's been. And that's how we should give, hilariously. Oh, it's great. God can bless a gift given out of duty, but God will not bless the giver unless his heart's right. I understand giving out of duty. Oh, I've done it many times. But God really only blesses us when our heart's right with the Lord, when we give to him. When you give, this is what God will give you. Okay, what do you get when you give? Here it is. And I know I'm a little long, but we're going to try to wrap it up real fast. Here it goes. 2 Corinthians 9:8-9. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. What do you get, real fast, Raj, when you give? What do you get? Here it is. You get grace. You get grace. You can't buy grace, but as you give to the Lord, he will help you grow morally and spiritually in your life. How in the world can you grow in the Lord when you're robbing him, when you're not doing the right thing? It's hard to grow in grace. And as you start to give, you'll understand what he gave, and you will grow in your life. Number two, sufficiency. You'll grow to depend on the Lord, and he will more than adequately supply your needs. It's interesting when you don't have a lot, and you say, this is what came in, and this is what I'm going to give, my tithe. And then when he meets your needs through that week, you start to go, well, golly, he took care of me. Amen? How many have done that before? Amen? Praise the Lord. He took care of me. This is what you get. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's Philippians. That was that. He wrote that that real poor church. That was great. Righteousness. As you rely and trust the Lord to give through you, you'll grow in Christian character. What am I talking about? You can't buy righteousness. That was given to you on the cross. Amen? When you're saved. But you know what? When you give, you grow in righteous character. Does that make any sense to you? You start to feel like, I'm doing this because it's right. It's right. And I want to do the right thing. And I know a lot of you want to do the right thing in other areas, but what about this area? And as you give, you're going to start to grow in your Christian character. I have. Bountifulness. You desire to give more and more because you've been blessed by the Lord. I've met so many people like this. They just love to give because they know as they give more, more blessings are coming. More blessings are coming. And they start to anticipate the blessings. They start to live life like that. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Now, what does God get out of it? Is our next thing. Look at the love of money. Boy, it's growing, ain't it? What's the next thing? What does God get when we give? Here it is. Paul tells them, while by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. What does God get when you give? Look at it. Here it is. Glory and praise. We're good at this, ain't we? We're good at this. We're good at singing, and that's great. That's part of it. But did you know God gets glory when we give? Well, I don't want him to get none of that glory. No, he gets glory when we give. He gets praise when we give. You know, you're doing this is great, and your singing is great, but did you know what? Most people are never going to glorify God because you clapped or you sang. But God will be glorified when you give through other people. Let's try it real fast. How many came to here at a fellowship church because they saw a billboard? Can I see a sign? See a hand? Billboard. Now let's just do it. Are you glad somebody paid for that billboard? Say it, yes or no. Just shout it out with me. See, they praise God for that billboard. How many came to church because you saw a little sticker on the back of a car or a sign somewhere? Can I see your hand? Put your hand up. A few. Were you glad maybe somebody had that on their car and that somebody paid the money to purchase those? Shout that, would you? Yeah. Come on, somebody help me. How about this? How about, did you know somebody, we've had to raise money to pay for this building, to keep the lights on. How many were glad that when you came here, this building was under contract and the lights were being paid and everything, all the money that's required to do, you were glad for that. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's glory and praise. God gets glory. And I've got to believe that people that are here go, I sure am glad they were there. Well, we weren't here without funds. You see what I'm saying? People glorify God and praise God because you give. And that's part of it. And he wants you to do that. He loves that glory and that praise. How many are glad that we were here, some of us before, maybe some of you got here, and we had got the land for $200,000 instead of the $3 million it's worth right now. How many? Let's say praise the Lord. Come on. Yeah. But $200,000 had to come from somewhere, right? And see, we glorify God for that. And you know what? People are going to come after us and thank the Lord for a building down there. And they're, you know, we might be dead in our grave. And one day they'll go, boy, I sure am glad somebody did this. And they might never think of us at all. But they're just going to say, praise the Lord, we found this place. And if we're on up in heaven, shoot, we might get another reward. Our rewards will be coming on after us. Amen. Wouldn't that be good? That'd be good. Come on. Let's keep going. I'm almost done. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Last two verses. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, and you through his poverty might be rich. That's what Jesus did. He left heaven. You think you're giving up something when you give. He really gave it up. Keep that in your head. I popped this Old Testament verse up for a reason. Joshua. Why? Because it reminds me of me. And the way I think, and the way I've lived, and where I'm at in my life. Look at it. Joshua, he said, this is the Lord speaking. I have given you a land for which you didn't labor. I didn't lay the foundations of America or Inglewood, Florida. This great nation, God's given us this land, hasn't he? Say, look, I gave you a land, you didn't labor. I've given you cities which you didn't build. There's infrastructure here. We do everything. God did that. Look, and you dwell in them. Of vineyards and olive yards, which you planted and do not eat. When I was a little kid, we had a garden, and we ate out of the garden. Did you know what? I don't do a garden anymore. There's people down there, they grow it, and it comes to Publix, and God blesses me with the money, and I'm still eating fresh vegetables. Hallelujah. Amen? This is what I'm talking about. God said, I've given you these things. I'm blessing you. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods of your fathers that they served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Verse 15 is the bottom line. If it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, and that's what I want to say to you today. If it seems evil for you to give to God, if it seems wrong, if it seems evil, that's terrible to give to God. That's why I say you keep it. You keep it. If it's an evil thing to give to God's work and to God's ministry, Joshua said it. I think I can say it. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods of your fathers that they served on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Amen? That's what the Bible says. Amen. Let's praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Y'all been a good crowd to preach to. It's your choice. Here's the Clark deal right here. I'm with Joshua. I'm with Joshua. And you know, it started out, I'm with Joy. Because Joy's the one that said, honey, this is right. I believe today if my wife hadn't have looked me in the eyeballs and said, we're giving to God's work because it's right to do. And I can be ugly. And I talked ugly to her. But she stood her ground. I honestly believe today that I'm here today, my marriage is here today, my children are where they're at today, we live at Lemon Bay where we live today, we have the things we have today, I even give credit to her for my good dog I've got, and my two cats, amen? Because God has blessed me, he has blessed me, he gets the glory, he gets the praise, we didn't give it to get all that stuff, but because we gave, it seems that he's just blessed us, we cannot explain it, it's just God, amen? Praise the Lord. Let's praise him this morning. Come on. Amen. Thank the Lord.